baby's born, and then grow in the process of children's church. Then the next thing you know, they're leading praise and worship. And then they get married, and then they got kids, and it's a father figure that a lot of churches don't have the blessings to have a pastor that stays to where he can see babies born and babies called to preach and be involved in church. And that's a, give your pastor and his family a hand tonight. Appreciate them so much. Pastor and I, we have served a lot of boards and committees together throughout the years, and youth camps and state council meetings, and Brother Hobbs is a whole lot like I am. He's not a great voice in the council room until he speaks. I don't talk a lot in council meetings. He didn't talk a lot in council meetings, but when he says something, it's like E.F. Hutton, you better listen. And he's a man of wisdom, and I appreciate him so much for years of integrity. And I'll say this before we go to 2 Kings. Turn in your Bible, 2 Kings. This does not affect me in no way at all. But Pastor Hobbs, I've observed something, Sister Rollins, as a young man growing up in the church. I'm not going to mention names tonight, but I've seen pastors that give their whole life, and due to sickness or retirement, they give up the church, and they're no more thought about much at all. They're not involved, and they're not asked to do certain things. They're not asked to do anything at camp meetings. They're not asked to do anything at state. It's like they're on a gray horse and they're gone. That ought not be that way. We need their wisdom. We need their knowledge, and they still got fire in the bones. And I just appreciate the way that God has blessed Sister Montgomery and I to move forward. And we got such a large, godly family. I'm telling you, we go to a little church in Mooresville, North Carolina, United Missionary Methodist Church. Been there 3 years in a row. We have a Holy Ghost revival there, about 25 people. It's a bit, one of the best revivals we go to is that little church, little Missionary Methodist Church in Mooresville, North Carolina. Those people love God. Ain't nobody there under hardly 65, but man, we have church. Amen. Let's stand tonight, 2 Kings. I don't normally visit much in the pulpit because I like getting to the Word of the Lord. But thank you again for the hospitality and your appreciations and offerings and the blessings of the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. The sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take then every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. One said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was filling his beam, an axe head fell in the water and cried, Master, it was borrowed. The man of God said, where fell it? Showed him the place and cut down the stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, take it up to thee, put it in his hand, and he took it. Just a little simple message tonight. Take it back up. Pick it back up. Amen. Would you give the Lord praise as you're being seated tonight? Give him praise. Elijah had established a Bible school. Elijah continued the work of the school and continued it in 2 Kings. The sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold, the place is too small for us. They're going to build a Bible school there. And the problem, they had outgrown their school. Young men saw a need. I love this story. They didn't wait for leadership. They had a vision and went to Elisha. I believe it's time for the church, as Pastor said a moment ago. It's time for us to ask God for an outpouring of revival and get busy for the kingdom of God. I thought about a pastor one time, Brother Hobbs, that He loved going on Monday mornings and watching trains. He did it every Monday morning. Just loved watching trains. Finally, one of the council members said, Pastor said, he said, I just don't understand why you like watching trains. He said, you come out here every Monday. He said, I like watching something I don't have to push. Amen. You know how profound that is. And so the young men saw a need. The church needs to see a cause to get involved. Amen. We're not here. I really feel this burning in my heart tonight. We're not here just to be here. We're here to build the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. You're here tonight not just because that you love Brother Hobbs, but you're here because you want to see the kingdom of God develop and the kingdom of God grow and God to move in lives. And we see that Elijah answered, and I like what he said. He said, go, let's get it done. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get this job done. So the plan, let us go, we pray, unto the Jordan, the Bible says here. Let every man take a beam, the word of the Lord says. Let us make a place, a Bible school. And hear this, no one was expected to carry more than he could, but everyone was expected to carry all that he could. Amen? Remember that. Amen? Every time I talk about this story, I reminisce, Pastor, about my Irish grandfather, Montgomery. My wife and I, we went to Ireland last year and enjoyed the trip because my grandfather was from there and I always wanted to go. And Grandpa Montgomery was a very strong man, strong shoulders, and everything he did was power, no power tools, and he rode a horse until about 1970. He never even had a car until about 1972. He rode an old black horse from Tank Pond Holler to Feathers Grocery there in Parksville. But grandfather would carry his load and he would go through the paths and carry wood and big old, I mean, some really big, heavy logs upon his shoulders. And me being a fragile little redheaded kid like Opie Taylor, I would reach down and pick up me some branches and pretty good sized little branches. And I'd watch Grandpa climb that hill, holding them logs on his shoulders. And I'd take every step Grandpa would make. And I felt like I was carrying the same load Grandpa was carrying, but it wasn't the same load. But I did my part, amen, to help Grandfather, amen, at that old place. You see, you can pick up a little limb and stay and just say, I'm just going to do a little thing. And I thought about that years ago. Pastor remembers we had a tornado to come across the tabernacle camp meeting, and we was in the tabernacle and we come out, trees lying everywhere and bushes lying everywhere, and Brother Sanders was the overseer, and he was sitting on the grass crying, and I hate to say this, but it was true. It was lunchtime, and preachers was going here, and those going to lunch. They was together, and he said, "People can't even see trees. I need some chainsaws. I need somebody to help pick up bushes." Nobody was helping Brother Sanders pick up bushes, and that's the kind of way it is in church today. Everybody wants somebody else to carry the bush, but I want to. Do I have anybody in this house that wants to work for the kingdom of God? Do I have anybody that has passion, amen, to build the kingdom of God? Do I have anybody that says, God, I want to do my best to work for you? I'm not going to just sit down, but God, I'm going to do everything I can for the kingdom of God. Somebody give him praise in this house before I move on. You see, the church needs to get busy, make a sacrifice, pay the price so we can build the church. An old saying's always said 20% doing 80% of the work and 20% tithing and working and worshiping. But God wants you to be able to do something for him. Amen? no more and no less. But God wants somebody to be busy. I'll tell you what, when growing up in my mother's church, amen, she had everybody working. I'm telling you, I mean, even in church, even in on church services, you didn't get out of mom and dad's church till 11 o'clock pretty much every time, whether it be Sunday night, Saturday night. I mean, if you sang, you was going to sing. If you played, you was going to play. If you testified, you was going to testify. You're going to preach, you're going to preach. Mom, she had everybody active in the church. That's all right, amen, to do those things. But here the point is, the passion of these young men. Is there not passion in the church, amen, to work for the kingdom of God? Is there not passion, amen, to read the word? Is there not passion to pray like we once prayed? Is there not passion to say, I'm tired of the filth of our world and the immorality? Is there not passion for hurting souls? Is there not passion for lost people? Is there not passion for seats around you that's empty? Amen. For the pray that God will touch people's lives to get on fire for God. These young men had a passion to do the work of God. It was not a burden. It was not a command. They didn't see it as a duty. It was an opportunity. They were excited. How long has it been since you've been excited, amen, to work for the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. How long has it been since you've been excited? Lord, preacher, whatever I do, I want to do something for the kingdom of God. How long has it been exciting for you to come in and say, well, it's just another Friday night. I'm going to get my singing done. I'm going to get my worship done. And I'm going to go home and watch Gunsmoke. Oh, I want to tell you, we're living in a time where people are in a rush. People's in a hurry. They want to get out of the doors. But God, give us the kind of revival. Amen. God can do something in 5 minutes, I know. But sometimes we just have our schedule in the way and we don't let God move. I say, God, give us a revival and we'll put passion back in the hearts of people and love in the hearts of people again. Somebody, would you lift your hands and praise him in this house? In 2 Kings 6 and 3, one young man asked Elisha, will you go with our servants? And Elisha said, yeah, I'll go. One thing I learned the reason why Wortland Church grew the way it did, and I say this periodically, but not all the time, but people used to call me at Wortland, and how come you, I mean, we were, Pastor Hobbs knows Wortland, we were Wolfpen Holler in Greenham County. Wolfpen Holler and population 1,400, and our record attendance was 804 in that little community. And people, how you grow in your church? Give me 10 steps of how. I said, just let the Holy Ghost grow the church. And they said, is that all? I said, is that all? Man, that's the answer. Amen. Sure, you got to have steps, and sure, you got to have pro and methods. But I want to tell you, we have programmed out in many places the glory of God. I was asked to preach a camp meeting in a state, and this leader of the state said, he said, I want you to come. He said, we celebrated 100-something years last year at our church, and I had keynote speakers. I'm not going to mention their names, but me and I love keynote speakers. There wasn't nothing wrong with them, but he had keynote speakers, and it all lined up celebrating their 100th year anniversary. And he said, Brother Montgomery, I had everything. I had the right band. I had the right musicians. I had the right speakers. He said, I had all the incentives right. He said, after it's all over with, I was in my church praying, and God says, you did everything right but one thing. You left out me in that meeting. And he said, Brother Montgomery, when you come this year, he said, just let the Holy Ghost have his way. He said, just let God move. I'm not going to worry about anything. Can I tell you, sometimes we get so wrapped up in certain things in life, we leave out the power of the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you, we got to have his glory. We got to have his power. We got to have his direction. We got to have his touch. I am nothing without the power of the Holy Ghost. I've got to have his glory and power flowing through my life. Somebody exalt his name. So I want to work like these men wanted Elisha to work. I need Jesus to help me. I need the Holy Ghost to be with me. It doesn't make any difference how rich the church gets. Amen. It doesn't make no difference how big the church gets. I need God. Amen. It doesn't make any difference how skillful we get, how educated we get, how our music and singing is perfected, and how many times we've changed our church names or built another building. We need the master to be on every mission. And Elisha said, I'll go. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. We gotta have the hand of God upon us. Praise God. We can't move forward without the hand of God upon us. We must, hallelujah, I feel the glory in this house. We must have God's hand upon us to give us approval. Can you say amen? And we find here that in 2 Kings 6 and 4, so he went up with them, and they were cutting wood. I brought some old projects tonight. You guys by age know what that is? Who said that? You got it. It ain't just an axe. It's a double beat axe. And so here this young man, he picks up his axe, the Bible says, and began to work for the kingdom of God. Now, going back to grandfather, Brother Hobbs, my grandfather, this is what he used, not this certain axe, but he used an axe like this. And let me tell you, Grandpa can cut down a tree faster than Daniel Boone could kill a bear. He would take that double-beat axe. Brother Hobbs, he would go to a tree and he'd chop. But Grandpa gave me an axe too. But it wasn't like his axe. He knew I wasn't experienced. He knew that I didn't know how to use an axe like he did. So he'd give me a single-bladed axe, dull as his carpet. But you know what I did, Sister Diane? Grandfather would go to that tree and chop, and there'd be pieces of bark would fly out of that tree wider than that axe, and I'd be over on a little tree about the size of my arm, and I'd be a chopping away and just splintering in it and splintering it and trying to get that old tree down. And eventually, Grandpa would have three trees down. I'd finally get my old sassafras tree down. I was just as happy as Grandpa cutting down them big old trees. Amen. Eventually, when I got a little bit stronger and a little bit smarter, because you can cut your foot off with one of these things. That got a little bit of experience. And Grandpa never did give me the axe like he had, but I got one just a little bit. But what are you saying, Brother Montgomery? I'm telling you, there's a time in the church we had people spiritually that knew how to use an axe. They knew how to work with God. Amen. Because I want to tell you, the devil trembles at Holy Ghost sharp people. The devil despises people, praise God. Amen. It's got the power, the edge upon them. And I want to tell you, saints of God, we got to get the church back to carrying the axe of God's word. Amen. We need to sharpen ourselves with prayer. We need to sharpen ourselves with fasting. We need to sharpen ourselves reading the word of God. We need to sharpen ourselves with praise and worship and magnifying God. He picked up that axe and he started wailing. I pray, God, give us a church again that's not afraid to pick up the axe of holiness and pick up the axe of righteousness and pick up the axe of being working for the kingdom of God and say, God, I'm not going to let the devil intimidate me, rob me. I'm going to pick up my axe and I'm going to work for the kingdom of God. God, give us a kind of revival and we'll touch people again to pick the axe up. Praise God and fight the good fight of faith. We can't without his glory and without his power. Somebody exalt his name. One young man was taking that axe and he had zeal. Man, I had zeal with Grandpa. I'm telling you, I had zeal. I mean, and he wouldn't let me wear no gloves either. No gloves. I had to get my hands calloused. I'm telling you, calloused. And we'd be whacking away. And this young man, hearing the story, the Bible said he had zeal. He had excitement and passion and dedication and a burden. Chopping away at a tree, trying to get work done for the kingdom of God and building the schoolhouse in the story. And the Bible said all of a sudden while he was working, I mean, chopping a tree. I love watching Grandpa take that axe, and if I had me a log in here, I'd chop it just like he did, because I can do it now. Amen. He'd chop away. But then I could see that young man working diligently. And I've seen church people all my life, 40 years of pastoring, I've seen them know how to use an axe. But due to hurt and due to unforgiveness and due to a certain circumstances, due to coldness and lukewarmness, they put the axe down, still come to church. Church, but they lost their edge. They lost the glory of the Lord. And we find this young man, he had zeal and passion, and the axe head came off into the Jordan River. And the Bible said that all of a sudden the effectiveness wasn't there. All he had was the axe handle. He couldn't do anything. Amen. Can I tell you, amen, the devil don't mind you having an old axe handle. Amen. He don't care, because there ain't nothing. Amen. You can just put a knot on somebody's head. But can I tell you, that old axe, amen, I can tear that, somebody help me, I can tear the devil up with that spiritual axe, praise God. I said I can tear him up with the word of God, amen. The Bible says that he's chopping away, and all of a sudden he lost the axe hand. And look at this tonight. I feel the presence of the Lord. And he called the master, the Bible says here. Notice he said, master, the axe head was borrowed. He realized what it took to get the job done. And I can't finish this job like I am. Some don't realize when they lost their power. Amen? They just keep on swinging the handle. They come to church on Sunday morning and all they got is the handle. Praise you, Jesus. Ain't doing nothing. Ain't nothing going on. All they got is the handle. The devil says, I got them. Amen. They come to church because of certain circumstances, because of laziness, and they're praising God, but they're not edged. Their edge is not sharp. Their axe is gone. They come with a handle. It's all they got. And but they knew where they lost it at. They lack of prayer, lack of seeking the Lord, and that's all they got, so they just keep swinging the handle, thinking nobody knows I've lost it. Amen. It's gone, and we're going through the motions and praising, but no trees falling. Going through the motions, no wood being piled. Going through the motions, God help us to have the kind of revival that will make us realize where we lost our glory, where we lost our power, where we lost our effectiveness. My God, there's something missing in the church today. Amen. In many places. Amen. We know how to sing, but passion is gone. We know how to preach. Amen. But passion is gone. We know how to work. Amen. But passion is gone. Amen. I can hear men and women preach. Amen. In conferences and things. And they say good words, but there's something missing. The humbleness of the holiness, the meekness of God is missing in their lives. And they sit back, and most everybody's lost their axe handle, and all they got's the handle. And they said, well, we having camp meeting tonight. Can I tell you, there's a difference in having camp meeting with an axe handle and having camp meeting with an axe. Praise God, because God help us to have the kind of revival that gets us back to being sharp, get us back to being effective, get us back to having power, get us back, praise God, because God wants us to have the effectiveness. Somebody help me. God help me to be effective in preaching. Help me to be effective in preaching, effective in worship, and effective in serving you. Somebody lift your hands in this house and give God praise. And so, just got to handle preaching, but no deliverance. People go out the door the same way. Amen. No victory. So now you know how to handle the handle. Well, they look good. They got the shoes right, got the hair right. They got the homiletics down. They look, get in the mirror and practice preaching in the mirror, making sure the hair's right. Lord, help me. They got the little armor guards carrying the water for them. Carrying the Bible for them. Wiping sweat off their faces for them. Amen. But nobody's been affected. Nobody's been moved. We got people that's emotionally moved. Elvis Presley can move me emotionally, singing how great they are, but he don't stir my soul. I need my soul stirred, not my emotions. We got so many people in our churches today. They've lost the axe and they're just, oh, man, I really enjoyed church. But I want to tell you, when your soul gets stirred, your life changes. When your soul gets stirred, your mind changes. When your soul gets stirred, your wants changes. When your soul gets stirred, you want to read your Bible. When your soul gets stirred, it changes who you are. When your soul gets stirred, you cry again. When your soul gets stirred, you shout again. When your soul gets stirred, you get happy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody exalt, hey, his holy name in this house. Well, somebody praise him in this house. I feel like Larry Timmerman. I feel the little man in the backyard of my soul doing flip-flops. So now you know how to handle the axe handle. So now to place your feet. But we need effectiveness. The church is good at swinging the axe handle. For the most part. Sunday after Sunday, no trees falling. Go through the motions in denial. You may know the words of the song. Act out the blessings. How to put a sermon together. We may know how to. We may fill our walls with achievements. But this young man cried out, Master. So you can build a crowd with a football team. You can build a crowd with a circus. I'm not interested in building a crowd. I'll be back up here in a minute. Don't worry, I ain't hurting nobody. I'm not interested in building a crowd. 40 years as a pastor, and I wasn't interested in building a crowd. Here's the problem is today. This pastor ain't that way. But we want God to fill our pews. We want God to fill our seats. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to fill the people sitting in the pews already. It's God's plan to fill his people sitting there. Oh, somebody help me. It's God's plan to fill you with his power. It's God's plan to fill you with this excitement. It's God's plan to fill you with his glory. And when he fills you with his glory, then you're going to see somebody come. Because I want to tell you, when he sees the church on fire, when the lost sees the church on fire, they're going to come in and watch it burn. Amen. But we got everybody coming in. Amen. Our churches, all they got's an axe handle. That don't excite nobody. But you let an army of God spiritually come in like this right here, something's going to happen. The devil ain't going to stay around with a church like this, somebody. Amen. Oh, I ain't going to let it go. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. The devil ain't going to come close to that, no. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Cancer be gone in the name. I'm talking about the word of God. Amen. Depression be gone in the name of Jesus. Anxiety be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody carrying an axe handle. And the devil ain't afraid of you at all. But when you pick up your axe, praise God, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and proclaim he's Lord, he's King, he's Almighty, he's Healer, he's Liar, he's a Savior, amen, he's our Giver. Can I tell you, I want to make the devil nervous. Woo! So that come out of me like mama. I want to make the devil nervous. How many of y'all are tired of the devil making you nervous? Lord, help me, get your axe. And so, well, we can say we done this, but we got to pick up the axe. Now, this was not born in some theology class room. Amen? I don't want an Asbury revival. I got a grandson going to Asbury this fall. I don't want a Sousa Street revival. I don't want a Brownsville revival. I want an Acts 2 revival. Because they all was filled with the Holy Ghost. All. And when they all came out, Peter wasn't cussing no more. Might help me in his house. Peter, all Peter had before Acts chapter 2 was a handle. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. That's all he had. That's the reason why he could cuss in a moment of a time. That's the reason why they was trying to figure out who was going to be on the right and left side. These wimpy disciples, they were crybabies, couldn't lay hands on the sick, couldn't do anything. They was trying to see if Jesus was going to destroy the Roman government and build an earthly kingdom. But when they come out of the upper room, the axe handle, amen, was had the axe upon it. Amen. They come out of that upper room. These are not drunk as you suppose, see, about the third hour of the day, but they have been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, when they come out of that upper room, they come a chopping and change the whole world and turn it upside down. Why? Because they were effective, praise God. They had something to fight with. Hallelujah. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Some trust in horses and chariots, but I trust the name of the Lord. And so, I'm not meddling here, but maybe I am. I don't know. And so, we got people that are praising God, and the Lord says the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. But Jesus told the woman, I seek those to worship me in spirit and in truth. Praise and worship is two different things. Praise is not the same thing as worship. Worship is a heart condition. Worship is at the foot of Jesus, breaking the alabaster box. Worship is when you're at home and you find a place to pray and God moves in your heart. So we have a lot of people, got a lot of praisers, well, singing good songs. You're getting real quiet on me now. Amen. But worship is not involved in it at all. Because worship is something you do before you get to church. Worship is something you do before you get to Sunday. Worship is what you do on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Worship in your car, Lord, I need your touch. On the tractor, Lord, I need your touch. On your John Deere, Lord, I need your touch. Holding your little Fifi dog, put him down and say, Lord, I need your touch right now. Put the grandkids in the playroom and say, Lord, right now I need your touch. Because Sunday's coming, but the people's coming to church with praise but no worship. Worship is the accent on your praise. When you worship, praise God, it puts sharpness in your praise. It puts anointing in your preaching, hallelujah. When you approach somebody, help me, worship God. It's the accent of effectiveness. Praise is good, but not empty praise, not dead praise, but worship praise. Somebody exalt his name. So, this young man recognized he lost his effectiveness. I was working. I wasn't playing around. He was a student. He borrowed the axe. You can't borrow what I'm preaching about. You can't borrow from mom and dad. You can't borrow it from a pastor. We have to pay the price and get the axe for ourselves. It has to be your axe. Do your own praying and studying. Elisha said, I love this in closing. Where did you lose it? You'll find it where you lost it. You remember when you stopped praying? I'm speaking to the live stream. I ain't talking to you tonight. You remember when you started setting, back and not being involved no more. The hardest thing about pastoring, I can deal with conflict. I can deal with struggles. And I'm not a person to get mad. You can come to me. I had a woman tell me years ago, I preached a message, and man, she was my flower child before I preached that message. She loved me to death. And I was in my office on Sunday morning. She walked in. She never comes to my office. She said, "Can I talk to you, Pastor?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "I have you to know right now." She said, "I was hoping you'd be my pastor till you retired, but," she said, "I'm hoping you're gone tomorrow." And she said, "I was going to leave this church, but I decided to stay right here and intimidate you every service while you preach." And she did. She go, what you do when you have people like that? You find you're not on the wall, preaching not on the wall. You don't look at them. Well, she did that for 2 years, and she finally broke through and forgive me and or asked me to forgive her, stuff like that nature. But none of that bothers me. I can handle it. You can tell me today, "I hate you." And you know what I'll do? I'll buy you a McDonald's hamburger. I don't care the next day. That's just the way I am. And if you try to dodge me at Lowe's, I'll find you before you leave the door. I've had people at Kentucky camp meeting, amen, people that I pastored that was aggravating to me, and they try to go through another door. And when I was their pastor, you know what I do? I chase them down. "Good to see you tonight." Do you know what bothers me more than anything? Is seeing people lose their axe head and never giving God any prayer about getting back right with God. People that get cold and started giving up Sunday school classes and said, I'm just going to quit. That's a heavy burden of a pastor. And we find in closing here tonight, you'll find out where you lost it. You remember when you started setting back. You remember when bitterness come in maybe. So he says, "Show me the place where it fell." And Elisha cut a piece of a stick and threw it in the river. Glory to God. I'm going to close here in a minute. And threw it in the river. And the Bible said, the axe said, "Swim." That's the King James Version. S-W-I-M. Not floated. No fish net. But the Bible said, the axe said, "Swim like a bluegill to the top of the water." You believe that? Bible said, it swim. No gills, no tail. Swim. You see, when God touches you, you see, it was against the nature of this iron to swim. And when God touches us, it's against our nature, amen, to get sharp. It's against our nature to worship. It's against our nature to pray for the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, your nature, go, somebody help me. It does something it don't want to do. It gets to the altar. It seeks to God. It says, "The Lord, the Lord." And his axe head swim to the top of the water. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody praise him. I hadn't thought about this. I've said it before, but I hadn't thought about this. So right now I'm going to close, but I could carry, say some other things, but I'm going to. How many of y'all really believe that an axe head actually swim to the top? You believe that? How you believe? You weren't there. You believe that? You weren't there. How you know? You don't. Do you know? You wasn't there. How do you know it did? It says so. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me make a point right here. I'm going to close with this. I hadn't thought about this and wasn't planning on it, but I'm going to do it because God says to do it. How many of y'all in this house has trouble with your faith? Shake your little Methodist head at me. Devil fights you in your faith. Tell you you can't be healed, you can't get this. This won't happen, it won't happen. I want to prove to you right now that that ain't your problem. Young man in the Bible, a dad had a son that was vexed by the devil, and he said, Lord, I believe that you can deliver my son, but help thou mine unbelief. I'm going to make this illustration. If I had me a little girl, if I had Rosie's little girl up here, I'd use her tonight. Or she's a doll baby. I would call her, and she's going to have red hair like me and real pretty blue eyes, not blonde hair. And she's going to be about 4-year-old. I'm going to call her Faith. I can't get no girls in my family. There ain't no girls born in my family but one. I can't get no girls. I got little church girls all over North Carolina who are second and third graders. They just don't forget me at all. And I got them spoiled rotten. But I had me a little girl, Pastor Hobbs, her name is Faith, and I lived in the neighborhood, and I had a neighbor that had a Rottweiler dog, and he's a mean old dog. And I tell Faith, I said, Faith, whatever you do, don't you get out of that house and go in this yard, because I said, that dog over there get you. I want daddy. Well, all of a sudden I looked, and Faith wasn't in the house. And lo and behold, I went out and the dog had Faith starting to bite her. What do you think I'm going to do? You think I'm going to fight my faith, or I'm going to kill me a stinking dog? You see, the problem is we got people that's always fighting their faith. And you got to stop fighting your faith, because that ain't your problem. Because if you actually believe an axe head could swim to the top, you ain't got no faith problem. You believe Lazarus was raised from the dead? Act like you're Pentecostal and let me know. You believe Peter walked on water? You believe there was a fourth man in the fire, the three Hebrew children? You believe that? Well, I can go all through the Bible. I ain't got time. But if you believe that, well, you ain't got no faith problem. What you got is a dog problem. And what you got to do is pick up an axe and say, dog, you getting out of my yard. Dog, you getting out of my house. Dog, I'm out to kill you, because I got faith. Faith of a grain of mustard seed can move mountains. Faith can open up the giants. Praise God. Let's slay the giants. Faith can open up the Red Sea. Faith, praise God, can put the lions to sleep in a den of lions. Somebody pray. Faith. You ain't got a faith problem. You got an unbelief problem. What you got to do is pick up an axe and say, doubt, I'm going to chop you away. Anxiety, you're going to leave. Fear, you're going to leave. Doubt, you're going to go. In the name of Jesus, would you stand in this place? Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise him, church. Just lift your voice. As Pastor said earlier, say hallelujah. 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 You see, I believe some of you older guys will know what I'm talking about. But I believe when the young man picked up the axe head and put it back on the handle, Grandpa always showed me how to put wedges inside here to spread the wood to make it tight where the axe handle won't come back off. It don't do good to just slip the handle back on the axe head. You got to take the word of God and by prayer and keep it wedged in. Oh, it gets tired swinging that axe. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. You get tired carrying that axe, but I am persuaded nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Things present, things to come, height nor death, or angels or principalities, or anything shall separate me from the love of God. As Pastor said, if God be for us, who could be against us? And Grandpa would sit down after a day's work, take that axe and sit on a grinding wheel. And he would file that axe, getting ready for the next day. You see, the trouble is too many church people don't sharpen the axe. So they come in on Sunday and they've been battled by the devil, battled by sickness, and battled by finances, battled by the world, battled by everything else, and they don't have an edge. But I believe God has a church here tonight in Berea that says, God, I don't want to lose my effectiveness. And the young man picked it back up and started working again. Heavenly Father, I shared my heart tonight. Lord, we can get so involved in this world. We get so involved with news and sports and travel and yard work and gardens and mundane of life that we lose our effectiveness. I don't believe there's anybody here tonight, Lord, that's lost their axe head, but maybe God, they need to get this altar and say, God, sharpen me tonight. Sharpen me tonight. You got neighbors that needs God. People's already in the altars. Would you come on this last night of this service and just say, God, would you sharpen me? Would you come to these altars right now? Young and old. Young and older. And say, God, I want to be effective. And maybe you have lost your axe head. Maybe you're not sharp anymore. Maybe all you got's the handle. But you can come to this altar tonight and say, God, I know where I lost it and I need it picked back up. As they sing, everybody that will, would you come? Thank you for coming. Just continue to come in this altar tonight. Pour your heart out to the Lord. We're going to pray for these as they minister in song.
And it's your breath.